Building an altar. The subtitle, let me see, the subtitle or the other working title was Don't Think You Can Get to God on the Cheap.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
I don't know, we are really a nation that's into bargains. Even people that are wealthy seem to want to get a bargain. But you won't find God in the bargain basement. You won't find him on the reduced rack. You won't find him on the closed out of the last season rack. You'll only find him where he is because he's a holy God. And he was God first and he created us. We live in a generation that is working hard to explain to God how everything should be. Especially worship and prayer and church and things that really matter to God. 2 Samuel 24, verse 18 through 25. There is really something wonderful to learn here. The Lord spoke this message to me and just downloaded it, ... in a prayer meeting recently. And God and Gad came that day to David and said to him, Go up and rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. How many of you know God knows more about building an altar than anybody? And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king with his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy, everybody say to buy, the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Now this is the problem. The people were being destroyed. God was bringing judgment. David had made a great mistake. Things were bad. David had to have an answer. See, a lot of our prayer is prayed in a way that is regular, rather casual. Be nice to get an answer. If we do, we'll say, hey, can you believe God answered my prayer? But David wasn't like that. It was either get the prayer answered or the nation was going to be destroyed. That's where we are today, actually. And Araunah said to David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good to him. Now, this is how people are worshiping and praying today. What seemeth good to me. I'm going to worship the Lord in the way that seemeth good to me. I'm going to pray in the way that seemeth good. Even argue with people who study God's word and say, but I don't believe it that way. You know, the scripture says, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? We've got to get back to believing God and believing God's word. Let him have what offer up what seemeth good to him. Behold, here are oxen for the burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. It was the will of Araunah to make it easy on David and to cause David to be able to touch God cheap or free if possible. Oh, you don't need to buy it. I'll give it to you. And this is the cry that's going out from a lot of American churches today. There's no price to pay. Just come and take and take and take and take and don't ever give anything. And the king said to Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it. Everybody say, buy it.
Buy it.
Of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. So, David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Now, if you really want to touch God, If you really want to get your prayers answered, if you're really hungry to be in His presence, we sang songs today, I just want to be where you are. And He just wants you to be where He is too. We can't always be where He is without first coming up to where He is about how we approach Him. We can't just fling ourselves at Him and say, if this is where you are, I'm going to find a way to get. But there's a way for God to accept us. Hear us. The scripture says the Lord accepted His offering. David had displeased the Lord, but he cried out to God because God threatened to destroy the people. Then the prophet Gad came to him and gave him the word of the Lord. David obeyed, and the plague was stayed from the people. David was a man of revelation. We see it over and over again in the scripture. A tremendous revelation came to David. And I'm going to give you something today that money cannot buy. I'm going to give you an understanding of what was revealed to David so that you can touch God and get an answer the way David touched God and got an answer. So that when you come to the place of worship, your worship will be accepted. So that you and God are really relating together. But there is a way. And David had that revelation. Think of it. And when Aronhat tried to tell him, no, you don't have to do that. I remember when there was a college that was being taken over by a new group of people that I guess had higher Christian standards. And then the people that were already there didn't want this group coming in because they said, we are already Christians and they're trying to make us Christians and a half. Now, I'll tell you, the real bargain these days is half Christians. Yeah. That's what a lot of people are after. Just so I get into heaven and I'll just tell God how easy it all was forevermore. But we haven't read the Word of God and we don't have the revelation. And so we're not really getting into His presence, and so we're not being empowered by God, and we're not accomplishing the things that He wants to do through us. So here was David's revelation. It was a principle of offering to God on the altar. Here's the revelation. I will not offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing. There's a way that the heart of and mind of man is bent on trying to touch God on the cheap. It's a deception because God will never accept it on man's terms. Now, this doesn't mean that God wants you to act religious and go through a bunch of motions and wear yourself out. I think people that approach Him that way, He says to them, go on, wear yourself out. Because He doesn't want you to wear yourself out. He wants your heart. God's not after phony, fakey, lip service worship. And the Lord began to say to me when I was sitting in the prayer meeting, He was opening this up to me. He began to walk me through the Word and reminding me of the times and ways that men have tried to do this in other situations. Remember when Jesus took a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple? He rebuked them and said, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. You've made it. You know, we can make God's house into something it's not. I've even heard people say, well, church is just a man-made institution anyway. It is if you and some other men make it. But this church is not a man-made institution. This is a church that wants to bring glory to God, that was called by God, where the people press in to touch God and to see His wonderful presence and healing and delivering power known on this earth. You can make it a man-made institution, but that's not the true church. Each man was to bring in. This is what Jesus was challenging them on. Each man was supposed to bring his own sacrifice that cost him something. A lamb to raise up, or cost him a certain amount of money, or this or that. Whatever it cost him, he was supposed to bring that when he came to worship. But what happened is, because people didn't want to pay the price or bother with paying any price to do it or go to the inconvenience, God can be so inconvenient at times, can he? Oh, but I was gonna. Well, sometimes, you know, we just need to understand that God just wasn't going to do it the way you were just going to do it. He does have his own ways that he wants things done. And so instead of reverently bringing their own sacrifice that they had really paid something for before God, it was a last minute thing of pitching God a tip and yanking up a dove or whatever was handy there. This will be my sacrifice today. Don't call a sacrifice something that doesn't cost you anything. A tip is not a sacrifice. So it's not to be a last minute token or a tip to throw into the basket. That's why Jesus said it was robbing. It was robbing God of his glory by not being willing to come reverently and make a sacrifice. It was to be that which cost them something, some time, some energy, some sacrifice. And even with the temptation of Jesus, this is another example. Remember that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tested? And the enemy repeatedly showed Jesus what would seem an easier way without having to go to the cross, didn't he? Just worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Don't go through this cross business. I don't want to go to that church. They believe in death to self. We got real mixed up between church and being a true follower of Jesus Christ. You can't just believe anything. The Bible tells us what to believe. On each occasion, Jesus chose the way of sacrifice of himself. He chose the way that really cost him everything. He refused to turn stones into bread, remember? Though he had fasted for 40 days. He could have done it. Sometimes we make it easy on ourselves because we can. Because people let us by with it. Because, God help us, we preachers have not touched God strongly enough that conviction will come. And in all these things, we let the church by with it. Oh, God, don't let us by with it. Jesus refused to call on angels to deliver him. He refused to worship the devil and yield to Satan's will. He refused to take the easy way. And once again, now Jesus demonstrates this revelation. Will I offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing? He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to come any of the ways that you suggest. I tell you what, the enemy has got more religious suggestions for you than Carter's got pills. It's amazing. He has got, well, you could just do this and you wouldn't have to do that. Well, listen, you don't have to do anything. You can just say no to God. But when you come to him, the answer is now yes. You don't say no, Lord. That's an oxymoron. The revelation of the cross is all about surrendering our whole lives to him. When he called on people to follow him, Jesus told them that they must be willing. He didn't say he had to do all these things always. Some of you will never be fortunate enough to be able to give up your home and give the equity to God the way we did right in the beginning. We don't want you to do that, by the way. I'm not asking anybody to do that. God spoke to us. So it's not that you always are supposed to be giving up all this and doing all this. He's after the will. That's right. And wherever God's will crosses your will, that's the cross. That's it. Jesus told them they must be willing to leave possessions and people and influence and choose him. The rich young ruler had to leave his fortune behind. In his case, in the parable of the Great Supper, Jesus rejected those who would not come because they had excuses. And the scripture says they agreed together with each other on their excuses. That's called cultural or peer pressure. And your children, if you don't know what the latest peer pressure is, they'll tell you. So-and-so's doing it, they do it, somebody does it, somebody else does it. I got a question for this culture. How's it working out for you? They wouldn't come. One of them wouldn't come because he had a plot of land. We got a pile of land here, and I've noticed it never goes anywhere. You can count on it. Just lay down there and be still. You really don't have to worry about your land. You can just come on to church. You can come on to prayer. You don't have to be going examining your ground to see if it's still laying there doing right. One man had a wife he had married. You know, you can get over things like that. Bring your marriage to the Word of God and have a marriage like the Bible says. The Scripture says Jesus wasn't happy with this man putting that family thing before coming to what he was calling him to. And that one man had a yoke of oxen. It was, I think it was a tundra wide body. I was trying to think and see what I've seen written on trucks. Is that what you had, Jimmy?
We see what you want.
It's comparable, this yoke of oxen, comparable to your prized possession that you fancy, either your vehicle or whatever other thing is wonderful and marvelous to you. Can't do it. Got to go try out my stuff, play with my toys. He never meant these people could not have these things. Hello, now hear me. But that his call on their lives must always come first. Can we just get this? I know people that I believe are true and deep Christians that have ultra fancy cars. And you know what? I'm so glad they do. Because they do so much for the kingdom. And if I wanted to use that fancy thing, I think they'd let me use it. So they're not taken by that thing. And the Lord's allowing them that blessing. But there may be some reason he would not want somebody to have it. One would be you can't afford it. Good reason. So he didn't mean that they couldn't have these things, but that his call had to always come first. And whatever is not convenient, and whatever requires your time, your energy, your possessions, this is what costs you something. Is that right? And this is the very nature of what God receives as an offering. My mother had the cutest ways of saying things. She would mean it exactly that way. And she said to me one day, "Honey, there's one thing you say that is really true, you know, like the others are not. There's one thing that you say that's really true. Everybody does what he wants to do." We need to pray to get so full of the Holy Ghost that we could hear God saying, "No, I don't want you to do that. No, I don't want you to spend your way." I'm praying that God will convict me and anybody I minister to of the ways we waste our time when we could be yielding it to him and making his name great. And the other thing, and the one he pointed out to me, another one, was the widow's mite. So she got God's attention and touched him with true worship. Jesus called everyone's attention to the little bit that the widow gave, and he called it more than the large amount that the wealthy man gave. Now, kingdom economy is amazing. Okay, let's say the woman gave $5. And let's say this man with plenty of money gave $5,000. And Jesus is sitting there and watching everybody give. You know, God does see what you give. Do you know this? God wouldn't count the offering. He's not good. Oh, yeah, he will. It matters very much to him that you obey his word in this area. I mean, because he spelled it out very carefully. And he said, see, this woman here gave this $5. She's given more than this wealthy man here who gave $5,000. Because she gave of her living. Everybody say, of her living. Some people can give a lot and it doesn't touch them. And he wants us to give him to the place where we feel that and understand that we're giving him something that's really valuable to us, not just what's left over and is easy for us to do. I want somebody to get out of your wallet five bills just alike. No, make it $1 bills. Somebody, does anybody have a wallet here? I don't see anybody reaching for one. Don't get a credit card that you can't purchase this with a credit card. I need five $1 bills, five $1 bills, five $1 bills. And will you please put them, lay them side by side for me right up here on the platform, because I'm going to show you something that's going to help you get close to God. That will be okay. I don't mind. It's just a demonstration. Okay, please. All I need is... How many you got? Okay, I just need one more. Oh, well, you got it. No, I just need five. Okay, thank you so very much. All right. What the Lord really wants from each of us is our heart. His word says, "My son, give me thine heart." He wants the most, the best, the first. And he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Well, you know, I just didn't think I could do that. But what came first? What did you put first instead of the kingdom? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. I want to go on record today as saying, I'm a person who's known what it's like to have almost no money at all. I know what it was like to work for a considerable length of time for not one dime. I am so happy that I got to give God that as an act of love. Yeah, God will ask things of you from time to time. You know, and you know, now I'm free to go out, and I can go out and eat and within reason get sort of whatever I want. I did hear of somebody that went in another country to a place and got a steak that cost $300. I wouldn't even want to do that. Even if I could, I'd say, let me have the $20 steak. And I got some nice things that I want to buy with the rest of this. $280 to buy several things. But he said, seek the kingdom first and give to me first. Now here's something you need to know. This will help you be in a place when you're building your prayer altar. You know, do we say sometimes, you know, it seems like God answers other people's prayers and he doesn't answer mine. It seems like some people just enter into worship. Well, I just go in, come back out, and still feel the same. But I want to tell you something. There's a way to build an altar. And it will cost you something. I am aware when we are led in worship that when Pastor Eddie leads us, a price was paid for that anointing. You cannot put a dollar value on the anointing. It is the one thing that came from heaven, and we get to experience it on earth. But there are many people this morning, a fact, who went to a church where they sang songs, whatever seemed good to them, and never considered, and would think, maybe I'm nuts, to say if you really want to touch God, it'll cost you something. And get the revelation, I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I know what it's like to do without financially. And you know, when we first started this work, everybody just gave everything. We were sort of like the first generation Christians. We had to do it. It's the only way that we could build it. Thank God it's been done, and the devil has hated us every day since. And because it was built on sacrifice. Sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Then a sweet-smelling savor went up to God as an offering of worship. Shall we understand it? God gets no pleasure in laziness, stinginess. He doesn't want that. We see that all through the scripture. But there is a principle that we need to learn. I'm telling you today how to have your prayer life so that before God, your prayers get answered. And that when you come into His presence, you have a relationship with Him. And you touch Him and He touches you. And it's a communion. How many of you think that's the most valuable thing on earth? I do. I think it's the most valuable thing on earth. There is a law of first things. We see this principle in the book of Genesis right from the very beginning. God accepted Abel's sacrifice but rejected Cain's. Why? I've heard all kinds of reasons given for this, but let me tell you why it is. Because the scripture says he received Abel's. And the scripture says Abel brought the firstlings of the flock. First. Everybody say first. He thought of God first. He didn't give him the leftovers. He didn't give him the whatevers. He didn't give him the as it seemeth right to me's. Cain brought, the scripture says, Cain brought some along the way. Oh, this would be good enough for God. I just thought I'd bring this. Well, after we get everything else figured out, we'll see what we can give to God. See, if we give to God, then we can figure out what we have left. We've got to get this turned upside. If you want to build an altar where you can touch God, I'm telling you today, this is a revelation. God, Cain brought some along the way. God always required the first of what they had to give. When God released Joshua to take the promised land, He intended to give them the land, but He had a requirement. He required the first city for Himself. So Jericho belonged to God. But Achan, as you remember, took some of the gold out of Jericho for himself and came under a curse. Because God has to get His first. And then you can have all the rest as if that isn't enough. It'll always be enough. We've been tithing a long time. I think we've been tithing before we were Christians, as best I can figure it. Because I got saved in 67 and we were tithing in 62, wasn't it? Well, thank you. You would know. You say, well, you know, I can't tithe on what I make. Well, now mind you, this was 1960s. But John made, as a soldier, $90 a month. How'd you like to tithe on that? John wants me to tell you that tithing on $90, we came home with $1,800. And he went to East Tennessee State, a well-accepted school, that paid every bit of his tuition and expenses for 3 years. That's just a fact. That's just exactly how it happened. You cannot outgive the Lord. And besides, why are we trying to finagle around here as if we don't really trust God? Through the Old Testament, the Lord required the firstborn son, always. The firstborn animal for Himself, Exodus 34:19. If I had the time and were teaching on this, I could do a complete teaching on the principle of first. Now I want someone, if you made, I didn't need $5, I needed 10. Can tell me. Well, would somebody please give me 5 more $1 bills? Because there's going to be a great blessing to the one who is obedient in the last days. Okay, Pam. 1, 2. And she can't stand it because this one's messed up. I wouldn't even have bothered. This is personalities. Yep. There you go. It's good and it's not John. We'd have to take time to turn all the heads the same way.
All right, John.
All right, now, it can be an adult or it can be a child. But the first person who understands out of this $10, and I'm telling you here that Mike started with this one and went through here, and then Pam finished it up. Now, this is $10. I'm going to give my tithe. Will someone come up here and pick up the one that is the tithe? Hey. What's wrong with the other ones?
Nothing. This is the first one.
There you go. Now, that's the whole point. You listen, your tithe is not one of the ten. Your tithe is the first of the ten. Why? Because God comes first. If you want your altar to be open between you and God, this is how to build an altar. Do these things. These things, set your offering in order. I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. Malachi 3:10-11 says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith. Now the Lord invites us to prove him on this. Just if you don't believe me, he says, try it. If there's anybody here that hasn't yet taken a step of faith and realized that this is God's word and that you need to take this step, then believe God today and take that step. Amen. Try me and see. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven. And I'm going to tell you what happens when he opens the windows of heaven. Is that he begins to give you more revelation. Because light is what comes from a window. A door is what you open so you can go in. But when the windows are open, then we have this light. When he pulls the drapes back, now, then God starts giving you revelation and wisdom. Try it. Try me if I'm not telling the truth. Try God if his word is not true. And he will pour out a blessing that you shall not, there shall not be room enough to receive it. I think John and I have just testified today. That's where we are. And I will rebuke the devourer, but here's the wonderful thing. For your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field. No, stop this miscarrying of the fruits in the field, all this kind of thing, the problems, the worms eating up your crops, all of that. The place of tithing is the place of blessing and protection. I'll bless you with revelation. I'll open the windows of heaven to you, and I'll pour out a blessing. And it'll be so much you won't even be able to receive it. And also, it's the place of protection. I will rebuke the devourer for you. I heard a message by Amy McPherson on this. Someone gave me a set of her original tapes. And I heard her say, she was talking about giving and tithing. And she said, what? You haven't given your tithe? I would be afraid to go across the street. Because you do not have that covering protection that I promised you. It's a very small bit. And the wonderful thing is, when you give the first part, when you give the first tenth, it redeems the rest of it. It sanctifies the 90%. So that it sews up the bag that has holes in it where you're losing out of that 90%. Now, I didn't say every single person is going to be rich and loaded and all that kind of things. There's natural things to consider. There are your abilities. There are the times you live in. There's the kind of job that you have. There's certain kinds of opportunities that open to you. But God is going to do exceeding abundantly more than you could ever ask or think. And he's going to take care of you, and he's going to bless you more than you ever thought he would. You receive multiplication from offerings, but you receive protection from the tithe and covering. Blessing, protection, and covering from the tithe. And from the multiplication from the offerings. And a light turned on. And I didn't realize that through the years, beginning in this, there was a time when John and I were giving 50%. And we have always given tithes, starting in 1980, more than two tithes plus gifts and so forth. And we've always given in this way, but I didn't realize this. The Lord says, when you give the tithe, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to cover you. But when you sow seed, I multiply it. And I said, no wonder I've been so blooming blessed. Because everything over the tithe all these years, he's been multiplying it. Through the 10%, I received the blessing and the protection. But through the seed that I have sown, I have gotten the multiplication. I told you when we gave in the offering that Victor received, that every time that we've done that, John and I have received at least two or three times more than we gave in that year. That's just our testimony. So I want to just sort of wind up with this here. And last Wednesday night, Jane was teaching about the 1948 revival, which is where so many of the people, including Judson and Fuchsia, David Shock, and all these, this is where our roots is in this truth, where the fivefold ministry came into being, and where we came to understand about what true worship is and real praise. But they discovered praise, the sacrifice of praise, before they understood fully about worship. And the Lord brought them into worship through praise. And Reg Lazelle was one of the main apostles of that movement. And he came to this church. He told me the story of when the sacrifice of praise was birthed to them as a whole, as a movement. He had gone to this church to preach and minister, and it was as dead as a hammer. And he preached and preached, and he prayed, and he did everything he could think. And the Lord began to open up to him about the sacrifice of praise. And he went to the church that day, and most of the day, he walked around in the church just saying and singing praise to God, up and down the aisle, sitting in the seats, all around the altar, just filling that atmosphere with the presence of God. And that night, it was like it was a totally different group of people in a totally different church, and all heaven broke out, and people were healed, saved, and delivered. And he said, from that day, I began to teach about the sacrifice of praise. So this is one of the ways that we offer to God that which cost us something. It's not easy to pray like that. I remember when I went to, Bart Pierce invited me to be in an all-night prayer meeting with Duncan Williams and his church. And I had to drive 6 hours and then go right into that prayer meeting. And I'm telling you, by 3 a.m., by 3 a.m., I thought, well, I don't know if I'll walk out of here or be carried. And that was after the enemy had tried to mess with me on some things, physically. And he said the funniest thing. Duncan Williams, as he was leading the prayer meeting, he said, you know what? It never been reported that anybody has died in a prayer meeting. I'm sure glad he didn't call me out to prophesy that. You know what that was? That was a sacrifice. Sacrifice. This is how you build your altar. This is how you have an altar that really connects with God. Stay in touch with Him. It's all through bringing the sacrifice of praise, which costs us something. It depends. With some people, praise depends upon how we feel, what our situation is, how difficult it might be to praise in this situation. But biblical praise and worship is done in God's way, not ours. It's about what He wants. What He wants, then it's true sacrifice. Every now and then, as Eddie will lead us, and then he will encourage us to bring our own song before God. Okay, most of the time I feel like doing that. I've done it so long, I'm really used to it. It's not hard for me to do it. I could lead other people to do it, but every now and then I just feel like, I don't know if I feel up to this. And you know why that is? Because I'm living in this fleshly body. And because I haven't sprouted wings. If I did, some backbiter would nibble them off. And since I'm just a human being person, it is not always easy for me to give the sacrifice of praise. And sometimes worship is a sacrifice. It's not about how I feel. It's about what God's Word says. True followers of Jesus give themselves to Him. If we truly desire to touch Him in worship, for Him to respond to our prayers, we cannot offer to the Lord that which costs us nothing. I want to close with this. I like this article that I read recently by a pastor entitled, A Response to Christians Who Are Done with Church. Done with Church. Now, this is a different animal from people who don't know about church. It'd be a whole lot easier if you had a bunch of them to convert than people that are done with it, because they know all the answers, and they know how to talk in religious jargon about it, you know. And they try to make you feel bad about loving God and pouring out your life for them. And I love this thing that he said, to those who are always claiming that the church is not authentic, he said, if you want a more biblical church, don't gather weekly. Gather daily. Before dawn. Get up when the sun rises to pray together with other Christians before you go to work. Pool your possessions. Don't claim anything as your own. Be willing to lose your job, your home, your family, or even your life because you follow Jesus. Now that's authentic. You know what is not authentic? Serving God on the cheap. That's phony. Consumer-driven church. It's phony. That's trying to pacify people so that they will honor us with coming and sitting. It's not about coming and sitting. It's about being saved. It's about being born again. It's about giving our all to Jesus Christ. And the privilege is that He lets us come into the realm where we understand what to bring to Him and how to bring it so that it can be powerful, so that we can be connected to Him, so we can get a response, and so that we can have an atmosphere that sets people free. Listen, the harvest is going to start coming in quickly now, and every one of us that's not willing to sacrifice by loving people, reaching out to them, praying for them, being kind to them, we're not going to be reaping the harvest. We need to get rid of all of these barnacles of the old selfish Christian, do it to me, bless me if you can, God mentality. And we need to be the people that take the responsibility to bring the presence of God through sacrificial praise and worship and prayer and build an altar that will truly bring glory to God, that people can say, God must be worth something. Look what those people are willing to give. I have said, Lord, please, if you would anoint some pastors, even in this area, where we would begin to preach against this phony way of doing it our own way, then we could have a church. Listen, the church needs to go some to really bring God glory these days. How many of you are interested in being among the first? I want to be among. Let's stand together in His presence. I want to ask you to just step forward for a minute. Everybody, just step forward. I'm not asking people to step forward that feel convicted or feel hurt or don't know what else to do or wish they had something they can't get. I'm just asking you to step forward. Because I believe that we want to make a fresh touch with God today. And the Lord spoke to me that if I would... You see, I can, of course, hopefully I can model some things, but really I can't make anybody do anything. And so if I want God to see glory, and if I want us to have prayer lives and a worship expression in this house that will really be in touch with God and bring Him glory, The power that I have to see that come to pass is preaching under the anointing. Didn't it? Don't go away. You're such a good friend. Don't ever leave me. Some of these guys come up here and help me, and next thing you know, they've walked away from me. I promise to pray for those that help me. I appreciate, don't you appreciate people that lovingly help you because they want to, because they care about you? And I believe that the Lord wants to bring today a fresh, even new anointing, some people's lives, some people fresh, some brand new, depending on where you are right now. And I think that this is the hour that the Lord wants us to just reach out and take this revelation. Come over here and sit by me, sweetheart. Yeah, I just want the anointing to be able to touch you and refresh your life. I love you. Just sit right here. Because Jesus has great things for you, and the devil doesn't want you to have anything, but you're going to have everything Jesus wants you to have. How many of you know the harvest is white, but the laborers are few? Where's Dr. Yamia? Oh, just come over here. Can she sit by this side of me? Thank you. You're so kind. Come over here. I just want for that continued healing.
Yes.
I just want you to sit here by me. It's real important that Yamia be healed.
Yes.
And it's important that you be healed today, darling.
Yes.
Everybody is the same.
Yeah.
In God's eyes. Dr. Yamia, she's not working right now.
Not now.
But she's a doctor. And so the Lord gave her to bring healing to people. And here the enemy wants to try to attack her. And here you are, having had some sickness that needs to be dealt with. And you know that God says, I love this doctor here that gave herself to help people. And I love this Laura here that's right now really needing to have healing. I love them exactly the same.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you got to start believing the people of God. To tell you the truth, the devil's a liar.
The devil's a liar.
He wants to destroy people's lives. Jesus is the healer.
Yes.
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life.
That's right.
And that we might have it more abundantly. Those of you that are way over there, could y'all move up? Yeah, everybody move over here just a little closer. I just want us to stand together, and I want to be able to see you. Julie, I'm glad to see you today. And church, it's a privilege to be able to pray for Jordan, her daughter, who was raised up here in this academy, and we're believing the Lord for a breakthrough healing in her life and to touch Julie's household and make it completely different just because we're standing here today believing Him together and asking God. Yes. See, when there are real needs like this, see, Laura has to be healed in order to live.
Right. Right.
These are not casual things. This is not casual. People really need God.
Yes.
So today I'm asking God, give us that anointing that will come.
Yes.
By our giving ourselves afresh to say to God, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Will we say it together? I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. So, Lord, as we come before your throne today, we want to say, Lord, forgive us for being stingy and greedy and covetous and all the other things, lazy, whatever is involved, where we've held back. And I just want to stretch my arms up high and throw my hands out wide open and say, Lord, take everything. I'm yours. Take it all. I surrender. I yield myself to you today. And I want you to empower me in a fresh new way in prayer and in worship. Because I believe you, Lord, just as David needed to save those Israelites. This country is under judgment, and this country is under such terrible judgment of their own on themselves. That they have brought to each other through the lies and all of the things that the enemy wants to do. And we declare that we're ending a day where there's going to be healing. Healing in bodies. Healing in marriages. There's going to be healing, Lord, where minds are oppressed. if the sun sets us free, we'll be free indeed. We just declare today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Forgive us now, Lord, and try us again. Try us one more time. And give us the opportunity to really be people whose lives are poured out to you, holding nothing back. Holding nothing back. And you will forgive us. And you will build us, and you will teach us how to build an altar. And we'll find favor with you. We'll find favor with you, Lord. And you will be pleased with our prayer. And you will be pleased with our worship. Because it's not selfish. It's not self-centered. And we're not doing what seems right to us. But we're doing what you have said for us to do. We've come to obey you today, Lord. Will you take hands with each other now? Take hands with each other. And let this anointing flow through you. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Jane, come up just a minute, please. The other night when, get her over there. Okay. Please ask her to come over there with you so okay. She'll be comfortable.
Okay.
Laura, go over. Dr. Yemi wants to hold your hand. Come over here.
Okay.
Give Jane.